Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're in a headline. Tests must come before IPL, says Giles. That's not you, is it? Oh, is it Ashley Giles? That's good. We should cut that out and stick it on the wall. It's like all newsrooms do that. They all
not,
cut
I don't think anymore. I don't think they, there's nobody works in newsrooms anymore. The Times is only four people now. In the old days, subs always...
Yeah, cut out headlines and stuck them on the wall. I had one that said something. It's like Esther Ranson, the DMA going, "I've never been so lonely in my life," says Esther. And I cut it out, stuck it on side of my thing. It made me laugh every day.
Or even funniest, a walker plummets to death from high cliff.
Exactly, yeah.
Esther's maiden name is Walker. Feel free to go back and laugh.
Are you going? Come on. Is that?
I'm waiting for you.
That's a catalogue. Is that catalogue?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you. That's what I do when I'm passing
a letter.
Yeah, I know. Who's it
no,
for?
No, that sounds so shit.
Oh, a letter.
No, that's like in the Archers. I'll just quickly have some of my drink. Oh, is that a letter?
I'm going to do some work now.
I wasn't sure whether we should. Okay. Well, have you got an idea for a column for me? Come on.
Yeah, I do. But my idea is so good that I want to leave it till later. Yeah.
Should we talk about my outfit?
Okay.
Because what I wanted to know is basically I've got that t-shirt. Well, I've changed out of the one which I think was too nipply. Was it too nipply?
You were just a bit cold. But the thing, I mean, look, and you walked in and said, "Is this too nipply?" And I said, "Yes, yes, darling, but you've got beautiful nipples, so it doesn't matter." It's like you,
have I really?
Yeah, you look great in clothes. We've discussed this before.
No, but have I got beautiful nipples?
Yes.
What maketh a beautiful nipple? I mean, what's the...
You're just in good shape, darling. You've got a nice... I don't
More.
Want... No!
No, come on. Okay, no. So, but I felt a bit nipply. And then you said... And I said, "Shall I wear it out to go and have lunch?" And you said, only with a shirt over the top, which I can see.
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't go out with a t-shirt after basically 30 into town.
No. That's not correct. But that is a... look, we won't go into where the t-shirt's from. It's a cheap t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
And you're wearing it because it's got a... something funny on the front.
And you said it's a cheat. You said it's a standard Fruit of the Loom t-shirt.
Yeah.
Flattering on nobody. And
no
I
one.
Does that just mean I'm fat? Because it's flattering on someone who doesn't bulge. It's flattering on...
No. Not even...
Really?
Not even Brad Pitt could wear...
Brad Pitt's exactly who I'm thinking of. You know, ever since... What was the violent Quentin Tarantino Brad Pitt film?
Fight Club?
No, Hollywood. That wasn't Tarantino.
Oh, Hollywood Story. One Night in... Hollywood Tale or whatever.
That's that
Once
one.
Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's where Brad Pitt dresses in exactly this. 501s, Converse,
right.
Hawaiian shirt over t-shirt. And I watched it. And I've tried so many permutations and I don't look like Brad Pitt.
Okay.
So this is the most close as I can get. And is this okay to wear a Hawaiian rayon shirt over the...
Yep. That kind of style of Hawaiian rayon shirt's probably got another 18 months left in it before it's a bit passé.
Really?
Yeah. You have to modernise or die. So this is wonderful. This is wonderful.
Now, this is
radio.
Some stuff for Ben to use for. Look, this is that's some stuff.
It's content.
Some background. You weren't as mean as you're supposed to be.
Why would I be mean?
You normally you were before. You said sort of mean things.
I'm never. I'm mean about all aspects of your personality, apart from the way that you look.
You're playing with the computer. Is that are you
no,
buying or, online
no,
food?
No, all my notes are on my computer. Shut
okay.
Up, shut
oh,
up.
Notes.
Yeah.
Well, I
okay. Here's one. Here's a fun one. All right, yeah. right. Okay. So COVID stats. Okay. You know those dismal numbers at the end of every Prime Minister's briefing, or at the beginning, you know. But, okay, so your piece would be, I miss our COVID stats. I mean, obviously you don't.
Good
but, you
idea.
Know, I miss, but wait.
Ten.
But wait, COVID, hang on.
Is this your really good idea, or is this?
No.
There's a better one.
No.
I've got so many notes. It's going to be one of those ones where you have a really good idea and we talk about it, and then I don't use any of my notes.
Look, all your notes are crap.
Have you got anything else? Look, time to go.
No, you put down anything. You literally write down, you're so, when in your, can I just say, that in your process of getting ideas for this podcast, you are totally unselective. You see some random piece about penguins. You're penguins! What can I say about penguins?
That's because in the radio show, Mark Dolan and me, we can do sort of like talk shit about penguins, but no one cares because it's live and they've got to put something on the air.
Right.
So they have to use it.
Yeah.
Whereas in the podcast, it has to be a bit more discerning.
Well,
what
I have
best thing ever,
exactly.
I've written. It's simply no argument, is there? The time will come when that is my column. Janice Turner on gender politics in new universities. Matthew Paris on wither the Monday Club in the Tory party. Jarvis Coroning on having a poo. Best thing ever. Listicle, having a wee is quite nice. Depends how long. First poo of the day or second poo of the day most exciting? Because the first poo of the day, it's like expected. You get up, you start stirring the tea. Right, off you go, grab the newspaper, get to the... Is there time to get the paper? Hop, 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 into the loo, read the paper. Flush, lovely, no one in there. Have first poo of the day. Have some tea, have some coffee. Kids start getting dressed. Suddenly, 10 to 8, little rumbling. Ooh, another poo. And that's like a surprise because you're not necessarily going to have it, you know?
Right.
It's quite often that you don't have another poo until the next day. That second poo. And on the second poo, it really clears you out. It's like you feel so... real spring in your step on the second poo. Anyway, sorry. So what was your... I have to try and get you laughing, you see, to get this podcast started. We'll get on to the deft political satire in a minute.
You are so disgusting.
Why?
Why are boys so obsessed with what happens in the toilet?
Why am I like the most prominent columnist in the Times? Why do I have three columns in the Times, a podcast and a radio show, when all that I think is funny is having a poo?
Yeah.
How have I managed to make a career pretending that other things interest me across multiple platforms? TV series, books, everything. But the truth is, all I care about is a third poo, the mid-afternoon third poo, literally.
But don't you start to worry that there's something wrong with you if that happens? No?
No, it depends on what I have for lunch. Move on.
Okay, let's move on. Okay, so I miss COVID stats, okay?
Yes.
So you could
That's
apply
really good
the
idea.
Principle of COVID-style stats to everything,
yeah.
Okay? So, for example, so you know how Sam, our son Sam, does credits of the day, okay? Rather than
credits of the day is when Sam comes into the bedroom at
to
night.
Defer bedtime.
So, credits of the day. It's the bit when he's like had his reading time, brushed his teeth, gone to bed, had a little chat. He's probably thrown a sickness wobble about going tomorrow.
Done his tiny 7-year-old poos.
Done the 20. He does do them at that weird times, yeah. Again, only to... He forces one out to defer bedtime.
Yeah.
But then we go in and we night-night and we put him down and he's getting quite sleepy. And then Esther and we get into bed, mint tea, chamomile tea, open a book, and there's this look... So, credits of the day.
Dad, now.
Haven't seen much of you today.
Yeah.
The school run, you remember to sign my homework book, forgot my snack. 7 out of 10. Mum,
the chicken was a bit dry. 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
So you could apply that. You could apply COVID style stats at the end of the day to everything.
You're
so for example, you know, I wife, I noticed you made me 0 cups of tea today, but I made you 1. Or there have sadly been, you know, or
we are, you
I
are assuming.
Yeah.
I mean, fine, but this is the assuming that. I mean, you and I are ahead of the curve on being bored with COVID. So people are still obeying the rules. It is still not quite May the 17th, is it?
No, Monday is May the 17th.
And that's just eating in restaurants. It's not till June the 11th or whenever it is that it's like... So we're saying the stats are now boring. There are lots of people who think the stats are terrible and that we've got lots of...
Well, but no, but now the stats are zero. Now there are zero deaths. So the peg would be there are now...
Find a way of saying I'm going to miss all that death.
There is a genuine movement in the health system to apply these sort of stats to things like road deaths, so that people have a numerical grasp on risk, basically.
And then take it in the direction. Yes, exactly.
But then you have to take it in the direction of satire.
So
being
this
silly.
Today, nobody won the lottery.
Yeah, or something. Also, you have
75,000 kind of, people were late for work. Sorry, go on.
You have a quite a kind of dad style attitude towards maths, but you're faintly obsessed with working out how much every tiny thing costs. So, you know, when we go to the barn, or when we don't, more often when we don't go to the barn, which is our house in Gloucestershire. It sounded like Moira.
Oh,
Rose,
we're from round here. Don't worry. We've been living in Glocker. What's it called?
Gloucestershire. Oh, you don't know who Moira Rose is because I won't let you watch Schitt's Creek. Do you watch it, Ben? What?
What's the right? And Moira Rose, and what is this?
Moira Rose is one of the characters, and she's got a very weird accent, darling. Anyone who watches Schitt's Creek will think that's amazing.
Will they? Will they be laughing?
Yes, they will.
Out there in podcast land. Yeah. Or they'll just be baffled like me. Speaking of COVID stats,
yeah,
we have to hurry through this podcast because I've got to get down to Queen Anne Street for my antibody test.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go and have an antibody test because we've had sort of, this is a thing, I could possibly write about my attempts to have a summer holiday.
Okay.
And so we had booked Corfu. And I
for
been,
half term.
For half term, May the 31st, quite punchy, booked it ages ago.
Yeah.
Spent every week on the podcast, I'm asking either Tom Whipple, the science editor, or Charlotte Ivers, the political correspondent, like, are we going to be allowed to go? Can we go? Who's going to be amber? Who's going to be green? What can we do? The government have scandalously put Greece amber.
And not made separate travel corridors to the islands, which have very low...
Corfu, where we were going to go, scandalously, I say again, has lower rates than... lower infection, higher vaccine than we do.
Yeah.
It's just because of people in Athens and Thessaloniki, which no one would ever go on holiday. There being a lot of COVID there. So I decided to try to jump ship to Israel. Obviously... World events, world events have slightly moved on.
They have.
So today is slightly... So I thought, Israel. And I'm so stupid and sort of, you know, I long for travel agents to come. I got online Sunday morning in bed, Greece cancelled. Let's go to Israel. Immediately booked return flights to Tel Aviv, where I've been to Jerusalem.
Which were weirdly cheap.
Weirdly cheap.
And the hotels were weirdly empty.
Well, though a Jew, I have never been to, because I've never been to Israel because that's not a, you know, I've been once
you're
not
to that kind of Jew.
Once to Jerusalem for 24 hours for a newspaper thing. But otherwise, so I'd never been to Tel Aviv. Lovely, we'll go there. And your face fell. Didn't Tel Aviv's people fly in there? Look at these lovely...
My face didn't fall.
Did it not? Otherwise, look at these lovely resorts. Anyway, we could go there. And so I then Googled my Jewish friends of the type who go to Israel a lot, which is about half.
I did the same. My WhatsApps was lighting up with my Jewish friends.
Hello, Joshi, I typed. Yeah. Anyway, and I said, so you go to Israel a lot, block text, move.
Yeah.
You know, where should I stay? Where are good areas? What should we do? And the first one who came back, Guy Ivesha, an Israeli hotelier friend of mine, who I wasn't hoping would say, why don't you stay in my wonderful giant hotel?
That's absolutely not what we were thinking.
No, it's not.
When
I wanted
Guy
to get
all of our
get
friends some, with houses in Israel.
Who strangely all our Jewish friends who are mostly in the hotel business. but there we go. Hello, it's me. Remember me. I'm going to Israel. And he said, yes, I'm glad you're going. The thing about Israel is, it's in green, you can come back. You have to quarantine 10 days when you get there.
Mm.
So already, I'd already spent 2,000 quid on flights to Israel, spent the rest of the day with BA trying to cancel the flights.
It was a difficult day.
Cancel them back, right. And then I read from May the 23rd, you can go to Israel if you've had a double vaccination, which we haven't, or have proof of antibodies. Then you can fly to Israel and have a lovely time. So I booked antibody tests. £95 was the cheapest one we could get.
£89.
£89 off today to have my antibody test. If I've got the antibodies, cunningly, we didn't waste the money on everyone, then we'll try everyone else. And if we've all had COVID, we can go. And then the paper this morning on the front of the Times, wherever it is, like Tel Aviv.
World War III.
85 injured deaths in the 40 deaths, you know, Hamas strikes, boom, Israel strikes back. And it's like we had the conversation, Israel's been basically safe.
Yeah.
Obviously ideologically questionable, safe for who and all. But, you know, whether or not you go, we had decided we would go there, and now Tel Aviv is literally under bombing attack.
It is a hotspot. Okay. Your quest to go on the summer holiday. Maybe. Maybe.
No, boring, isn't it?
Well, it's not boring, but I just wonder. I wonder. If
engagement rings for men. No, here's a better one. Yeah. Soldiers with BMI of 35 are now to be let in the army.
Okay. What? Because they're just having.
I don't know, but I mean, I think 25. If you're 25 to 30 is over.
25 to 30 is overweight. 25 is like, I'm slightly over 25. Mine's about 26, mm-hmm. which says I'm overweight, which is a bit harsh. 30 is obese, I think. And I think 30, after 35 is morbid. I think 35 is someone who is my height and 18 stone. I mean, I think Boris right. was about 33 when he was 17 stone and 5'8".
I mean, like, bear in mind that there are a lot of soldiers who will, like you, have misleading BMI because they are...
But like me and Lawrence Dallaglio with our absurd... And Victor Abogu with our absurd musculature. But
they are quite
it's all my thighs.
Four square. No, but it's true. Though.
I just imagine this whole infantry of Christopher Bigginses running at the enemy. And I have written down here how many will fit in a tank. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tiffany are to launch...
The jewellers or the pop star?
What? I think we're alone now.
Yeah.
I mean, for whom would Tiffany resonate as a pop star?
What, if you want
children
to...
behave, that's what they say when we're together. But what would they say if they only knew? And so we're running just as fast as we can, holding on to one another's hands, trying to get away into the night. And then you put your arms around me and we tumble to the ground. And then you say,
I think we're alone now.
The beating of my heart is the only sound. I think we're alone now. Doesn't seem to be anyone around.
That's really good, darling.
Was it?
Yeah, Ben's going to have to cut it because that contravenes the 10% rule.
I don't think anyone would recognise that. We would merely argue that I was singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
And it would be impossible to argue
singing
with.
Happy Birthday.
Tiffany the Jewelers.
Tiffany and
what was
Co.
the follow-up song to I Think We're Alone Now?
Because
that
know.
Also got in the charts
I don't know.
In 1987.
I don't know. You tell me, darling.
Oh,
my God. Come on, or I'm going to check my
phone. She was the female Rick Astley. She was unstoppable. Sorry, Tiffany's the Jewelers have really...
No. Okay, Tiffany and Co. is its name.
Oh, fuck off.
Okay?
What do you mean?
It's called Tiffany and Co.
It's Breakfast at Tiffany and Co.
No, Breakfast at Tiffany's. Okay, it's either Tiffany's or Tiffany...
What did I say?
You said Tiffany. It's not called Tiffany. It's either called Tiffany's or Tiffany and Co. I worked at Tiffany's. Yeah? So I know what I'm talking
about. Back when you had a job.
Yeah, it was a good job, actually. I liked that job. Yeah, it was good. Or you just tied bows all day long. It was brilliant. I can now, my one skill is I can tie a bow around a present that comes apart with a single tug. It's good. It's really impressive. Ben's impressed. Ben's like, I'm filing that away.
Special skill, tugging. That's why I married you. Ben's head goes into his hands. Esther looks down at her computer.
I knew it was
coming. I just heard the word tugging, and I just couldn't bear not to. Tiffany and Company.
Yes, what about Tiffany?
The jeweler. Yeah. Engagement rings for men is a thing. They've launched their first engagement rings for men. Right. And there's a thing going, men are going to wear engagement rings. And obviously, Tiffany's want everybody to wear diamonds all over their bodies, yeah, everywhere.
It's the hygienist conundrum. As in, hygienists just want you to floss your teeth all the time. Liver specialists want you to never drink alcohol. And Tiffany & Co. want everyone to wear jewellery at all times.
And hairdressers go, you haven't had it cut in hours.
Yeah.
Where, who did it last time? You, yesterday. So Tiffany & Co. want everyone to wear jewellery. You're fine. So they want men to wear jewellery. And there's a whole thing, men wearing it. So I've got a number of directions to go there. I'm like massively against... checks Ben's little hands. Everything. Massively against jewellery. I mean, I just think male jewellery, just a massive...
Johnny Depp being an excellent case in point.
And it's like, I've got a couple of paragraphs on signet rings. I mean, no one who can trace their family, like, further back than their grandfather wears a signet ring. Actual, like, Prince Charles, does he wear one? No.
Yes.
Does he? Yes. Okay, so that doesn't
massive,
work.
Massive, heavy gold one.
Does he?
Yeah.
Saying, tracing it back to... I can trace my... back to the king. King Edward the...
Bear in mind that you some of your closest best friends wear signet rings.
Oh, my friends are all twats, aren't they? If I didn't take the bit... all our ideas are veiled shade thrown at one of our friends, aren't they? Everything I have to say, there is somebody who's going to be upset.
Just wait until my thing about hugs comes out tomorrow.
Oh, hugging. Oh, God, have you written about hugging?
Yeah,
because I wanted to do hugging. We can maybe talk about hugging. Let's do hugging after engagement rings. I just think... And it says it's engagement rings. And one of the things it says to Tiffany & Co. say, because marriages has not just been a man and woman now, it's between a man and a man as well. And I go, yes, men don't wear jewellery. Marriage between men should mean no engagement rings, which should be the death of the engagement ring, but no.
How does that follow?
Because men shouldn't wear jewellery. So when two men get married, there should be no rings, no jewellery. Okay. I'm not wearing one now. And the reason I don't even wear a wedding ring... okay.
He says proudly.
Just going out for lunch, maybe. Yeah. No, dear, I'm just... sorry, that was silly. I don't wear a wedding ring.
That was silly.
No, wait.
No, you don't wear an engagement ring because you keep...
Because I do things. So what happens is that if you can lose a fucking finger. If you're wearing it, if you're hammering, if you're chopping wood, if you're mowing a lawn, if you're hammering stuff, if you're doing any kind of work and you catch your ring, fuck off grinning at me.
I
am very manly. I do a lot of that sort of thing.
No. I laugh when I'm nervous and I'm recalling with some stress when you ran into the kitchen with your finger literally at right angles to your hand.
It's horrible to think about.
And your wedding ring was on the bottom of your finger and we were miles away from the nearest hospital in the middle of nowhere and I thought you were going to lose your finger.
I did as well because I was wearing my stupid wedding ring. On that occasion, I was playing football with my son. Now, when a seven-year-old kicks a small football towards you, it's a ferocious thing. And as I went to save it, I mean, I pulled off an extraordinary save. The little bastard thought it was in. But it kicked my ring finger on my left hand, and I'm left-handed.
Which has been dislocated twice before.
And it hit it, bent it back, dislocated it. But it dislocated my knuckle, the wrong side of the wedding ring. So that it just started to swell and swell. This was on Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Off to Cheltenham General to try. And I was just going to... I was like, you pass out. The pain is really bad anyway from a dislocated finger, but it's like survival. But the other side... The way it looks, the wrong side of an engagement ring. Of a wedding ring. And I got there and I wanted them to... I was begging them to, like, cut off the ring. First, before this, cut off the ring so I don't lose the finger. And they didn't have cutting... So they didn't have cutting device. So, and there was triage and I had to wait behind people with headaches and children who'd coughed once and the mothers were freaking out with this thing, the finger going black. And in the end, they sent a nurse out with a load of KY jelly. For a minute, I thought I was in luck. She went and she pulled my fucking ring off. Over the dislocated joint, which was now the size of a tennis ball, pulled it over, and then they reset it, and I've now not put the ring on back since because I can't. I mean, the knuckles got so big from that dislocation, but it's you can lose fingers. You can what finger would you put it on? Move it to the right hand, which does less in my case. It's just like men should be out there available to do things at all times. They shouldn't be wearing jewelry, and it looks shit. And so I don't want men to wear engagement ring. And also.
Yeah.
But if I've been talking really fast, because whenever I listen back to the podcast, I get sad when it's too fast.
A lot of people say they listen to it slowly, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Because you don't wear an engagement ring either.
I don't wear an engagement ring either because I also do stuff, and it catches and it catches on things, and so it's just kept in the safe. And I'm, as you know, I loathe my hands. They are so porcine and disgusting. And I don't really want to attract any attention to them, so that's why I leave my engagement ring in the safe. But yes, also, it's also because I do
stuff. You can't get
marigold gloves?
They rip my marigolds. I'm a big fan of marigolds for everything. You're just revving up for your boys' lunch with all this series of smutty jokes.
Gloves. You can't get through a sentence with rubber gloves in it without.
My engagement is so huge because when we got engaged, I demanded. You were like, well, don't you want a very, very tiny flawless diamond? And I went, no, I want one the size of a ping pong ball. I don't care if it's cracked and yellow. Okay, so can I land you my the column I think you should write? I think you should write about snooker.
Oh.
So the gods of snooker is a contemporary. Oh, you've got it already.
Well, no, I haven't got it already. I was thinking about snooker, but go on.
The gods of snooker is a contemporary television programme. It came out quite recently.
I think it's this week.
I think it's this week. Yeah, it's a fresh one, so it's relevant, yeah. And you can be a peg and you can write about it. And I'm not sure what you're going to say about it, but I think that you watched it last night and you were moved to tears and you thought you were a bit labile because you were a tiny bit hungover. But I think even for me, snooker's quite evocative of a certain time in the world and a period of life, and you do nostalgia very well. And also, the conversation we were having last night was about brats. You don't get. There are no brats anymore.
That's a separate thing. Yeah,
I mean, it is a separate thing.
Because Alex Higgins. It was all about Alex Hurricane Higgins with all his demons and his sort of sexual shenanigans and his drinking and his abusing the referees and his leap. The snooker world final against Cliff Thorburn in, I think, 1980, because Higgins won it in 78 and 82. I think Davis won it in 81. I think in 80 was the one that he made the final and was beaten by Cliff Thorburn, and he basically passed out pissed in his seat. I mean, he couldn't play in the world snooker final. And they were talking to Cliff Thorburn, and I cried all the way through. Mm. And it's weird. But they were talking to Cliff Thorburn. That was his only world championship. And Cliff Thorburn was like a solid Canadian guy, much older than Higgins. All the old ones. Ray Reardon is still alive in his late 80s. So there was Ray Reardon, a lovely Welsh, well-spoken former policeman. And they get him on there and they're just talking to Higgins. Why does everybody want to talk about Hurricane Higgins? I won it six bloody times.
Yeah.
He won it twice, and everyone remembers these bad boys. And Thorburn won it once, and Thorburn is this lovely Canadian guy, and he's like 80 years old as well. And they said and they showed this stuff, and Higgins just got pissed and threw it away and lost the world. Right. And Thorburn goes, yeah, Higgins didn't throw it away at the final. I won that final, mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh man, it's 41 years ago, and they've got this. And the thing was, by the end. And I was watching, so I had been out for lunch. I'd had a bottle of wine, and I was all happy and jolly, and the kids were...
You were amazingly together.
Perfectly happy and everything. But it's just, I am possibly 6 hours after drinking, there's a danger I might become a bit emotional. And funnily enough, I was watching Alex Higgins crying while pissed. That made me want to cry. But when he won the final in 82, they're handing him the trophy, and he's crying, and he's calling to his girlfriend, his wife, to bring his baby. And you can see him mouthing, bring the baby, bring the baby. And in those days, they didn't do that. That was long before Pat Cash climbed up the things at Wimbledon. It was long before footballers brought out all their multiple babies by 18 different prostitutes to walk them around Wembley. Yeah. It was like, it was a staid environment. But Higgins was just so fucking human. Mm. And he played snooker really fast. And I was a 13-year-old kid, and I thought, that's the way to play it. Snooker was everywhere. It's hard for people to grasp now. It's everywhere. I wanted a snooker table so much. Mm. And I used to stay late at school because there was a snooker table to play snooker. And Higgins won, and he'd won this thing. But he wasn't just a sort of a drinker and a swearer and the first guy to not wear a bow tie while playing and everything. He wanted his baby to be brought. And the reason he'd lost the title the year before to Thorburn was because he'd just been drinking and doing gack and prostitutes everywhere. But the following year, his wife and baby were there in Sheffield with him. So he didn't do all that. And therefore, he won the title. And she brings him the baby and he's crying. And he's got the trophy, the baby and a fag. And he's just like, and he's crying. And I was sitting there. Now, luckily, you weren't there because you'd have tried to be nice, but you'd have gone, are you crying, darling? You crying about the snooker?
Do you know what? Sometimes it's really good to just be prompted to just have a good ball.
I cried for about 2 minutes, and then I stopped crying, and I thought,
I'm crying. Why am I crying? And I thought, because when I was 12 or 13, I didn't have any friends. And I just played, I wanted to play snooker. And I made friends who would play snooker with me. And I was better at snooker. I was good at snooker. And people would play snooker with me. And I didn't go out. I wasn't cycling round to the thing. I didn't have a gang of mates I was out with, like William or anything. I was caught, but I didn't have a sort of exciting 50s childhood, nor did I have an exciting 80s childhood. I was just watching snooker on the telly. That's all I did. And I was looking at Alex Higgins with his little baby that he'd had. And I was thinking about my babies and my childhood of not having any mates and just living in a suburban house and watching snooker all day. And I just cried, and then I started crying again. And I thought of the 80s and the sort of they played the music of the 80s. And you know how people of my generation they go, oh yeah, rave culture, yeah, the 80s, yeah, right. That music. I remember, God, do you remember when you were a neuromantic and you went to the Wanker Club, whatever it was called, the Blitz Club with Steve.
And you pissed your own ear.
And you pissed your own ear. And you had, and you remember losing your virginity when you were 13 around the back of the bike shed, smoking crack. Yeah. I go, no. I remember eating Finder's Crispy Pizzas in my bedroom and watching Cliff fucking Thorburn in the World Snooker
Show. Paisley pyjamas.
A piece about snooker and then what it meant later. And go, a little known fact that I made the semi-final of the Embassy World Championship? No, UK Championship. No, the Oxford Union Snooker Competition. I actually got to the semi-final.
I imagine you weren't up against a lot of competition for that.
It depends what you say. When playing in the Oxford Union Snooker Competition, you have, by and large, filtered out the whimsical, brilliant, hard-smoking Irishmen who grew up in pubs. They are largely not involved. What you've done is you've selected, in the 1980s, you've selected for 60%... super privileged public school, and then you selected for the ones who worked really hard, then you selected for the ones who joined the Oxford Union in the hope of one day becoming a Tory cabinet minister. I was the fourth best snooker player of them, right. So you know, I was not in any sense shit, but anyway, there is a sort of 80s nostalgia piece.
Yeah, and I think that if you it's a great subject because it's around at the moment. No one's really written about snooker for a while. I don't think you've ever written about snooker.
No,
you're a good hustler generally, and
so no,
funnily
enough,
good
so
as
my shitness
hustler.
At snooker was enough to be the sort of best pool player in a college bar, which looks a bit, I suppose.
No, wait, no, but hang on a second. Didn't you hustle down at that snooker club with Bob, and you were so embarrassed about being called Giles that you wrote your name up on the board?
Yes,
as Charles.
I was really, really good at nose. Ooh. I used to go down to a pub in Camden, the World's End, and play pool for money. But you were in those days, you have to write your name on a blackboard. And
it went, you're Craig, thinking, Phil, Steve, yeah, Giles.
And I think Guy, which wasn't even much less posh, really. I haven't had to be called Giles, I'll put Tarquin. Yeah. But it's, no, to be in a pub in Camden when you're 17, in 1986, in a Camden pub full of sort of punks and skinheads, really quite noisy in a bit. And they're all people are gathered around the pool table, and they're sort of fivers and so the way you put money on the table, so you put money to bag your place to come on the table, coins, you know, and you also put fivers and tenners, and you bet on the game and you bet when you're playing. And I wasn't so good that hustling is pretending to be less good than you are and then winning because you're
betting.
Yeah, I wasn't good enough to do that. I was just quite good at it, and it would play for me. The bit when they go Giles, and the whole place goes quiet and they turn. Oh, hello. I've already just come in and said, a pint of your best lager, please, sir. I'll just put my name on the blackboard. It's giant. Surname or first name? It's very hard not to just write Corran. You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.